open with me to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning for our starting place. And we'll spend a little time here looking at a thought that Paul was trying to convey to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 11. Paul is wanting them to not forget about something. He has an item that he wants to remind them of, and he wants them to remember what he has told them and what he has taught them concerning their past position in Christ as it stands compared to now and their current condition in Christ. And so he begins verse 11 by writing to them and saying, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." And all that is a lot of language there about this circumcision versus non-circumcision. He's just saying the Jews compared to everyone else who was a Gentile. You and I are Gentiles this morning, and so is everyone else who is not born of the nation of Israel and would be natural Jewish inhabitants. So he's talking about Jews and Gentiles, but he's giving them a reminder here, and he says, "I want you to remember that there were days gone by when you were Gentiles, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now, Paul is certainly not trying to tell the church at Ephesus here that there was a time in their life when they were Gentiles. Now, they have always been Gentiles, and they're still Gentiles, and they always will be Gentiles. But he's not trying to tell them that there was some period in your life where they did not know God, and that they were completely void of God's promise and his covenants, having no hope and without God. That does not mean that God was not always saving his people, the ones that belong to him, as he always has. And as he has certainly done all throughout the Old Testament dispensation, God has had a people in every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and he has always had that, and he has always saved his people and given them eternal life. He's given them eternal salvation in the very same way as he does now, through the applied blood of Jesus Christ, his darling son. Paul is not trying to tell the church here that you never had God and you were so far away without God, you had no hope of eternal life. He's not saying that. But what he is talking about is some knowledge. He's talking about some gospel knowledge, which is not only very important to the church at Ephesus, but it is very important to you and I today. And it's good that we know these things. And Paul is trying to emphasize this, and he wants them to remember the position that they came out of and the place they came from. He says, there was a time when you were not affiliated with Israel. In other words, you were not friends with the nation of Israel. The covenants of God, the teachings of God, all of the knowledge that God had shared with his people to date was all still being reserved and kept inside of the nation of Israel. The gospel had not begun to go forth out into the world and to be shared with Gentiles. And that's what he's saying. He says, don't forget about that time when you didn't have any gospel light. He says, there's a time in your history where you didn't know these things. He says, don't forget about that. That's what he means when he says there was a time when you were without Christ. You didn't know about him. He was still saving you. He was still saving his people, as he always says. But he says, concerning the gospel and concerning your mind and concerning your knowledge of these things, he says, you were aliens. You were foreigners to the nation of Israel, and you were not a part of it. He says, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, and You had no hope and were without God in the world concerning gospel knowledge. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, describing the Israelites as, to the nation of Israel pertaineth the adoption of God's children, the doctrine of adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. And he says, as of whom concerning the flesh, the fathers of Christ were in the flesh before him, they all came from the nation of Israel. Christ was born a natural Israelite. And so that's what Paul's talking about here. But he says in verse 13, he wants to remind them, he says, that was your case in the past. But he says, now something's different. Something has changed, and now something's different. Now, in Christ Jesus, this is how the change occurred. It's all through Christ. He says, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He says, you were aliens, you were strangers from the covenants and from the promises and from the services of God. You didn't know about these things. They were far, far from you. But he says, but now something has happened. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ has brought you nigh and made you close unto these things. I have a desire and I have a hope in my heart this morning that you and I know these things and remind ourselves of these very same things together this morning and each and every day of our life. I hope we never forget about this important fact that God has brought us closer to Christ. You and I are Gentiles. We're not national Israelites. We're Gentiles, but yet God has caused us to be made to be one with his nation, his chosen and his special and his favorite nation. He's made us to be one with them, and that the gospel has gone out to all the Gentiles now, including you and I. Now we can know these things. Now we're not separated from Christ. Now God has shared the beauties and the glories of these covenants and his promises with us through his precious son, Jesus Christ. He says now, right now, here's a now salvation for the Gentiles. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That word peace caught my eye this week. Reading and trying to think about a subject for today and what the Lord might have us look at, but I could not get away, it seems like, from the word peace. It kept coming back to me throughout the week. And so I want to try to look at what Paul is sharing with the Ephesians here. Remember, he's talking about there was some knowledge that you didn't have in light, gospel light, that you didn't have at one time. But he says, now you have it in Christ Jesus. And he says, I want you to know that Christ Jesus is the one who is our peace. He is our peace because he hath made both one, and he hath broken down that middle wall of partition that once stood between us. Isn't that interesting that Paul says, you know, there used to be a wall, a dividing wall or a partition that stood between Israel and everyone else. Now, who put that wall there? How did that wall get built? God put that wall there. God is the one that put that partition up because he's the one that kept all of these precious promises, the law, the services of God, and all of the wonderful, the covenants of adoption and so on and so forth. God is the one that kept that hid within the nation of Israel, and they're the only ones that had the law and the law service for many, many years. The Gentiles did not have that. The Gentiles did not have access to it. They did not have knowledge about it. They didn't know very much about God. They were absent. They were aliens from these things because God had put a wall up. But now the eternal Son of God, Christ Jesus, has came, and Paul is telling these Gentiles at Ephesus, he says, Christ Jesus is the one who has taken down that wall. He's taken down the dividing wall, and now these precious promises of God are going out into all the world, and unto you especially, you Gentiles at the church of Ephesus. God has knocked this wall down, the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you notice what he said about him in verse 14? He said, he is our peace. I guess I've been trying to think about that word peace a little bit this week. I've been thinking about the current world that we live in and some of the events that are taking place around the world and some of the things that we're seeing and hearing about in various places and sometimes very far away from us in various places in the world. And I was made to think over and over this week about how precious it is that you and I might have peace in our lives. Peace, that is a wonderful word. That word peace itself, it means tranquility. That's a word that I've always liked as well, is the word tranquil or tranquility. It just is a beautiful word that it is a definition and it describes what having peace means. When I think of the word tranquil, I think of stillness, quietness, and security, and happiness, and all of those things rolled into one. I think in my mind of a tranquil scene in life, maybe on a lake somewhere, maybe upon a riverbank, maybe somewhere where it's very quiet, maybe in a beautiful pasture. I think of various scenes in life that are tranquil. Well, that's what peace means, tranquility and harmony and concord. Many things that you would struggle to find things in the world now that you could apply these terms to. Tranquility, harmony, and concord, safety and security, contentment, quietness and rest. All of those things are rolled up and encompassed into that word peace. Did you see what Paul said about Jesus though? Did you notice what he wrote? He says, he is our peace. Jesus is our peace, and he is the one that hath taken the Gentiles, the nations of all the Gentiles of the world, everybody that was not of national Israel, and he has taken Israel and he's combined us into one. He's knocked down the dividing wall and the partition wall, and he has made us to become one in Christ Jesus. He is our peace. I am sure that there's people all over the world today that are searching for peace. There are families and individuals today that are upon their knees at this very moment around the world praying and seeking for peace, not only in their lives but in their nations. And it's becoming hard for them to find it. It's becoming a lost commodity, a very scarce commodity. You know, we're hearing a lot about supply chain issues, and there's certain commodities in the world today that are becoming scarce, aren't they? We're hearing about that. But I'll tell you one commodity that is becoming very scarce, and you're not hearing a lot about it, is peace. Peace in the world today is becoming scarce for many people. But I want you to know this morning where you can find it. I want you to know where your peace is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your peace is not in the world. It's not in the organizations and the entities of this world. It's in Jesus Christ, the one that's broken down the barriers. He's broken down the walls of partition and the rooms that separated us in years past and years gone by. And he's broken those down, and now he's made us all one in himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. It says in verse 15 that he has abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity is something that is against us. The enmity is the very cause of hostility. That's what an enmity is. It's the cause of a hostility. In this case, he's talking about an enmity between you and I and between a holy God. He's talking about the cause of the hostility that existed between us because of the fall of Adam. But he says his son, Jesus Christ, he says he abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, which means two, one new man, so making peace. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the author and creator of peace in our lives. It's not going to come from anywhere else. Don't you have a desire this morning? Would you like to have more peace in your life? I'm afraid a lot of God's children today are struggling in various aspects of life and in struggling with their conversation and their walk here in this world and just the busyness of trying to hold a job down and trying to earn a living, trying to raise a family today and to raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and to try to raise our families and grow our families and to get by day to day that we might live life and live it to its fullest and have the abundant life and a joy life that God has desired that we have here. I feel like many people are lacking peace in their lives. Does your life ever feel hectic? Does life ever feel busy to you? Hectic, where you can't seem to catch up and you can't get a moment's rest? You can't find time to sit down and quietly meditate and talk to God? I think it is for many of God's little children today. I think we're seeing that. But I want you to know that there is still peace available for you and I, and it's in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you're here in His house. This is the house that God built. I'm glad that you're here today seeking Him and coming into His presence and singing praises unto Him, because I'll tell you what, one of the reasons I came today, not only to see Him, not only to commune and fellowship with Him and to visit with my Lord and my Savior, but I want to worship Him in spirit and in truth and in song and in praise, but I want to feel peace in my life as well. There is no place upon this earth that I have ever felt so much peace in my life as among the Lord's people. In the midst of the Lord's people and in the midst of the Lord's church is where I have found the greatest quantities of peace in my entire life. And I fully expect that will continue to be the case. I hope that you're finding peace in the Lord's house, because this is where the Lord comes. You know, one of His names is the Prince of Peace, is it not? In Isaiah, He has several names there, and one of them is the Prince of Peace. And that's with a capital P, a prince, and the capital in the word peace. The Prince of Peace. It's one of God's names. It's where we're going to find it. Paul is reminding these Ephesians. He says, you had a past position, but now that's changed. Jesus Christ came, and by virtue of the perfect work that He did on the cross at Calvary, He tore the walls down that we're not separated anymore. He says, we as Gentiles, we are not separated from God's people and from the nation of Israel anymore. He said He took two separate types of people, the Gentiles and the Jews, and He has blended them into one. He has made one new man, so making peace. Making peace with God, because He has reconciled us back to God by virtue of the work on the cross. Would you say that's a good thing to know this morning? Would you say that might be a valuable thing for God's little children to know here in the world in which we live and walk and exist today? I say it is for me. I'm very thankful to know it, and I hope that you are as well, that Jesus has made many peoples. He has made one now, and He has combined us. And by the work on the cross, His perfect work, now He has broken that wall down. And not only has He made new one, but He's the author and He's the creator of our peace. He has made peace for us. You know, you and I can't fabricate peace in our lives, can we? We search for it. We hope to have it, But you really can't fabricate it. You have to find it through Jesus Christ. That's where you'll find peace. I love this. What good thoughts that Paul has that he's sharing with the church at Ephesus here. He says he has made peace. He's made of two men. Now he's made one new man. He's created peace. And now that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That enmity was what? What was the cause of the hostility that existed between you and I and a holy God? Was it not the law, God's law that he gave to Moses to give to his people to hold? It was God's holy law that defined who God is and defined the holiness of God. And he defined by that law what it would take for you and I to keep that law to a jot and a tittle in order to be holy in God's sight. You see why that law was such a cause of hostility now? Because we couldn't keep it. God gave it to us and he showed you what it would take to work yourselves into heaven. He says this is what you would have to do. You would have to live your life and keep this law to a jot and a tittle to be holy before me. But we know we can't do it. And so that law, in effect, has become a cause of hostility and a cause of separation between you and I and every one of God's children and a thrice holy God. You see why it's so important that Christ came on our behalf? And what did Paul say? He slew, he killed, he destroyed the enmity, which was that law of commandments and ordinances that we could not keep. Christ did away with it and he defeated it by his victory at Calvary. And he's reminding these people here at Ephesus, he's reminding the church about that. He said in verse 17, and Jesus came and he preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. You know, Jesus preached a lot of things, didn't he? He preached many things. One of the things he preached is peace. Paul said he came preaching peace. I suggest to you this morning, brethren, that if you are not hearing a gospel of peace, you are not hearing the true gospel. That is one of the marks, the identifying marks and characteristics of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, is it could be called and described as a gospel of peace. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Prince of Peace, the very Prince of Peace. He is the one that is our creator and the author of our peace. And that's where our peace comes from. And he says that he came and he preached peace. One of the things he did is everywhere Jesus went, he preached about peace. He was all about love and about peace. So I submit to you that the gospel that we need to be hearing today should be a gospel of peace and tranquility and quiet and rest. He says that through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I'll tell you, when Jesus came and he began to preach peace unto the people were ready and willing and needed to hear a gospel of peace. Not only did the people in the day the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the earth about 2,000 years ago, not only did they need to hear a gospel of peace, but you and I need to hear it today as well. We're living in a world, friends, today where we need to hear about peace. We don't need to walk by sight, do we? Because what's going to happen if we begin walking by sight, if we leave here today and we go out and start our week tomorrow and we all go back to our normal activities and all we do is walk by sight and not by faith and not by the Word of God and the teachings of God, what's going to happen to us? We're going to become depressed and we're going to become sad very quickly because we're not going to find a lot of peace in the world, but we're going to find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire that you have peace in your hearts and in your lives and in your minds. It's important that we have peace in our minds as well. But most importantly, I desire that your families have peace in your families. And you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no other place. Isaiah said, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know what Jesus did? He preached the gospel of peace. Oh, that he was here today, that we could hear him preach the gospel of peace today. How nice would it be for us and for our families? I hope that we're hearing the gospel of peace each and every time we come to the Lord's house. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now, because of the work of Jesus Christ, remember, Paul's reminding these Ephesians, because of the work of Jesus, he says, "Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now you're part of the household of God because of the work of Jesus. How sweet is it to know that this morning? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It sounded sweet to me this morning as we sung that hymn. Yeah, I hope it sounded very sweet to you, and I hope it always sounds sweet in your ear, the name of Jesus, because he has done that. We're not strangers. We're not foreigners. We're fellow citizens, and now we're of the household of God because of his work. And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We have a lovely foundation that's been laid for us by God. The foundation of all the apostles and Jesus Christ himself being the very chief cornerstone upon which it is all set and is all located and all began in Christ Jesus. It's all hinging on him. The cornerstone is the most important stone of the entire structure. And it's Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of this building Paul's speaking of. Did you hear what he said? He's describing us. He said, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I love the picture that Paul is painting for the church at Ephesus concerning the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done for them and for you and I and all of the kingdom of God and all the children of God, the work that Jesus did. He's talking about building a building, is he not? He said he's taken two, the Gentiles and the Jews. He's made us both one by virtue of his perfect work. He's reconciled us unto God. He has made peace for us. He's made peace between you and I and his Father, a thrice holy God. He has made that peace to be there. The differential that existed and the enmity that existed, the cause of hostilities between us and God, was our sins. And Jesus has paid our sin debt. He's done away with the enmity. He's done away with the hostility. He's made peace for us with his Father. Now you and I exist in perfect harmony and concordance with God the Father because of his work. Jesus did that for us. And he's reminding them here. And he says that he's building a building. In the process of doing it, he's constructing a building. I like the imagery that Paul uses. He says Christ laid the cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. And through his teachings and through his actions and his work at Calvary, at the cross, he said he has begun this building. He is the foundation. And he says the entire building has been framed together and it is growing and expanding and getting larger as a holy temple in the Lord. And he says in the last verse, in verse 22, he says, you and I are part of this building in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. How about that? Do you see what Jesus has done? He's woven us into the building. The work that Jesus did on our behalf in reconciling us back to God, in making peace for you and I, creating and being the author of peace between you and I and between God. He has woven us into the building. He's placed us in the building and caused us to be part of it. And what is it he described it as being? It's a habitation of God. It's a place where God comes to dwell. It's called the body of Christ. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? Do you see the imagery and the picture that Paul is painting about the body of Christ and about this building, this metaphorical building that Jesus has been working on, and it's ever growing and ever expanding? It's a habitation of God. Where does God live today? Well, of course he lives in heaven, but does he not also live in our hearts? Does not God take up residence, God the Holy Spirit, take up residence in our hearts? Of course he does. It's part of the building that he's talking about. Jesus has brought us in to this building, and our hearts are now part of the building that's a habitation of God through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Who gets the glory today? Who gets the glory for this building? Is it not Jesus? Is it not our Savior that's done all the work? Is he not the one that has slain the enmity? You and I didn't slay the enmity. You and I didn't lay any foundational stones. We didn't finish any work that Jesus, our Savior, started. He completed the work, and he wove us into the building. He placed us in there. He laid us in the building and made us to be part of it, because he's the creator and he's the author of peace between you and I and between God. He reconciled us to God. I love that. Jesus came preaching about that peace. I desire that we have peace in our hearts. I want to go to one other place for a moment. Turn over to Philippians just for a moment, and I want to go to chapter 4 for just a minute. I want to look at something that Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God." Could we remind ourselves together this morning to be careful for nothing? You know, we have a lot of cares in the world, do we not? Do we not have a lot of things that we're concerned about? Things that we feel like we need to see to completion, things that we need to be involved in to make sure that they occur, to make sure that they happen. We have lots of things like that. But Paul says there's a sense in which we are to be careful for nothing. I'd like to have a little bit of that. I'd like to have a little bit of that in my life, about some things that I could be careful for nothing, is how he says. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God. That word supplication means our needs and our request that we have to God. He says, during your prayers, he says we should be praying to God, and we should be sharing to God, and offering supplications, letting God know what our needs are. Not that he doesn't know them, but we should be verbalizing them to God and talking to God about our needs and what our requests are during our prayers. He says, be careful for nothing while we do this. And he says, as a result of that, if you'll do it, if you'll pray it, if you'll bring your supplications to God, he says, as a result of that, in verse 7, he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. If I understand what he means by that, he means that the peace that comes from God is without description by you and I, our understanding. We cannot fully describe it. It would be futile for me to even try to describe this peace that comes from God to you because we can't fully understand it. How about that? Paul says the peace that comes from God, it passes all understanding. It surpasses, is what he means. It exceeds our understanding. I don't know about you this morning. That's a peace I would love to have. I want some of that peace. I need some of that peace in my life. You need some of that peace. Don't we all need that peace in our lives? A peace that comes from God. He's the author and creator of peace. And it passes all understanding. I'm glad that I don't have to understand everything it is that God gives us and that comes from God that's good for you and I. I'm thankful I don't have to have a full and complete understanding in order for it to be helpful in my life. I can't understand completely about the peace of God. I just know that I need some. I need a lot of it. And I think you do too. I think we all need a lot of peace in our lives. The peace that passes all understanding. Did you know Paul said we can have it? Paul is telling the church at Philippi, you can have it. How? By praying and bringing your supplications unto God with thanksgiving and letting your requests be made known unto God. He says if you'll do that, he says the peace that comes from God, it'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, I'm interested in your hearts and in your minds as well as I am my own. I'm interested in the welfare of your hearts and your minds, just like I am my heart and my mind. I want us to be in a good place. I want us to be able to exist here in this world, even though chaos is taking place around us. I want us to be able to exist in a world where we have peace and harmony and tranquility and quietness and rest and contentment in our lives. The peace that passes all understanding that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could make peace and if I could fabricate peace, well, I would have a lot for myself and I would try to do it for you, but I can't do it, you can't do it, and none of us can. Only Jesus can create this kind of peace. It passes all of our understanding. All I know is I need some of it. I can't describe it to you, but I know we all need some of it. And I hope that we'll be praying that God will give it to us. What's one of the ways that we could do that? Just look at the next verse. Look at verse 8. He says, here's some things you could think about. Instead of walking by sight, instead of walking by just hearing all the noise and all the blabbering and all the hollering and screaming in the world today of voices that are dissatisfied, discontented, unhappy, instead of listening to all those voices in the world, how about thinking upon some things here that Paul recommends we think on? You can read the list as well as I can. Things that are true and honest and just, pure and lovely and of good report. He says, think on these things. Let's don't walk by sight. Let's don't walk by our natural eyesight, because the moment we walk out today, we may see things that are distressing to us and things that are unpleasant and very unhappy. How about we walk by faith? How about we think upon things that help to bring peace and solitude and solemnity in our life? How about those types of things? Those are what we need. I like to think upon things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. Why don't we think on some things that are lovely? Wouldn't that help us? Wouldn't that help you to think on some things that are lovely? I think it will help us to enjoy and to receive more and more that peace that passeth all understanding from our Lord. He's got it. He has it. And He's ready to share it with you and I when we do these things, when we pray to Him and we ask Him and we share our needs and our requests, our petitions and our supplications with Him. Paul said he has it. And he says, if you do that, he says, this peace will be yours and it'll keep your heart and it'll keep your mind. I'll tell you, those are two valuable things that we need to take care of, are they not? Our hearts and our minds, we need to take great care of. I'm thankful that Paul is reminding the church at Philippi about these things. You know what Paul said in the Roman letter? He said to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He didn't say to be carnally minded. That would be a lot of terrible things, a lot of bad things, but to be spiritually minded, to have your mind thinking upon these sorts of things, life and peace. Would you like some peace in your life? Here's how we can help ourselves to obtain some. He says, if there be any praise, think on these things. And he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's who we're here to serve this morning, is the God of peace. He is a God of peace. How about that? I think it was in Isaiah chapter 9 is where the term Prince of Peace is found. Isaiah 9:6. He's called the Prince of Peace. I love that name. You know, we read over that and we're reading the book of Isaiah. We read over that and we read over it so quickly. But do we ever stop to think that that's one of the names of God, is the Prince of Peace? I believe that so aptly describes the Lord Jesus, the very Prince of Peace. Among other names, such as his name is Wonderful, Counselor. Did you know that one of God's names is Wonderful? We don't often refer to God by his name Wonderful, do we? But that's one of his names. It's Wonderful. How sweet is that? One of the names of God is Wonderful. One of his names is Counselor. And the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And it says over there in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet Isaiah, he said, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The increase of his government and peace, that's what it says, there shall be no end. Not only is the government of the Lord Jesus Christ growing in size, are any of you for more government this morning? I am. I'm raising my hand. I'm for more government. I'm for more of the government of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God and the Counselor and Wonderful and the Prince of Peace. It says of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I want his government to expand and I want his peace to continue to grow and expand because I need some of it. That is so wonderful. What did Jesus say in John 14, 27? He said these words. He says, peace I leave with you. He says, I have peace, therefore I'm able to leave it with you if I choose to, and I'm choosing to. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Jesus says he's giving us peace. He's the author and the creator of peace. He has made peace between you and I and between a holy God, between his heavenly Father. He says, and furthermore, he says, I am giving you my peace. I'm sharing it with you, not as the world giveth. I don't want any peace from the world. How about you? I don't want anything the world has to offer. I want some of the peace that Jesus says he's leaving with us. Tell you, I believe that many of us have a lot of peace in our lives, and I know we do, and I know how much we enjoy that, but I just want you to be reminded this morning where it comes from. It comes from the Lord. If you have any peace in your life, it's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's more available. I believe there's a boundless stores, not only of grace, but there's boundless stores of peace with the Lord Jesus. Won't you pray to Him? Won't you share your supplications and your petitions unto God so that the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds? I pray that you'll do that. May God bless and keep you.